read an article a few weeks ago that I wanted to share some things about it, and I selected tonight to do that. I want to begin with this passage from the book of Psalms, the first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is that man who meditates on the law, and his delight is in it. The article that I read was in Christianity Today. It was referred to me. An article by Jeremy Weber entitled, "Sorry, John 3:16, the top 10 Bible verses YouVersion shared most in 2013. And so I read the article. I found it interesting about the top 10 verses shared in 2013. The subtitle is, "Leading Bible App Analyzes How Its Millions of Users Use the Bible This Year." And YouVersion is a very popular Bible app for smartphone users. How many of you have YouVersion on your phone? Quite a few of you. Well, in this article, there are some things that I read that I was pleased to read. Here are some of those. The app was installed 49 million times this year. I believe that's reference to in the U.S., 49 million times. And nearly 123 million worldwide. That's encouraging to me. And here's some more encouraging stats from this article. There were 120 million bookmarks created. That was up 133% from the previous year. Someone taking the time to mark a particular passage in Scripture. 300 million highlights. 595 million audio chapters listened to. That's up 140% from the previous year. 68 million verses shared. And again, these things are encouraging to know that this many passages of Scripture are being read and even shared. In fact, they shared these statistics as well. In 1 second, 2 verses are shared. 4 verses are bookmarked, 9 highlighted, 17 audio streams are taking place, 355 chapters are being read, and 1.5 installs per second. That's averaging over the whole year of 2013. And again, that would suggest that many, many people are reading or listening to the Scriptures, and that's very encouraging. But the list that caught my attention and that I wanted to go through with you tonight are the top five, the five most popular Bible verses on YouVersion in 2013. This may be the top five of those that were marked or highlighted or bookmarked or shared. The top five verses. And I'm going to go in reverse order. The first one is, or the fifth one, is Philippians 4 in verse 6. Philippians 4 in verse 6. I'm going to include verse 7 as I read it. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The fifth most popular verse 2013. "Be anxious for nothing." The Greek word translated anxious means to be pulled in different directions. If you ever have suffered from anxiety, you understand the backdrop of that word. The old English root word for worry, as we use it, means to strangle. So perhaps you can identify with these words, to be pulled into different directions or strangled by problems that you're experiencing. But Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Be anxious about nothing, but take everything to God in prayer. I like to underscore the word everything. Not just the big things, but everything. If it's big enough to be concerned about, one writer said, it should be prayed about. So take it to God in prayer. After all, Peter says, cast all your care upon him. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Prayer is the general word for, you know, petitioning God. It includes devotion and adoration. We're to take everything to God who can handle anything. Supplication refers to the sharing of our needs and problems or praying on behalf of others. But we're also to include thanksgiving. After adoration and supplication becomes appreciation, giving thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you remember, says, pray without ceasing. The next verse says, but give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are we quick to petition God, to ask him for things? Do we also thank him? Paul encourages us, bring your needs before God, but always include thanksgiving. And the results are this, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. A reporter asked President Herbert Hoover, Mr. President, how do you handle criticism? Do you ever get agitated or tense? No, President Hoover said, seemingly surprised at the question. Of course not. But the reporter went on, when I was a boy, you were one of the most popular people in the world. But then for a time, you became one of the most unpopular, with nearly everyone against you. Didn't any of this meanness and criticism ever get under your skin? Hoover replied, no, I knew when I went into politics what I might expect. So when it came, I wasn't disappointed or upset. Then he lowered his familiar bushy eyebrows and looked directly into the reporter's eyes. And he said, besides, I have peace at the center, you know. Peace at the center. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that is able to be enjoyed despite circumstances. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. So it's no wonder to me that this is one of the top five verses of 2013. The second one is this, Joshua 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Why do you think that was one of the top five verses? I want to notice the context. God is speaking to Joshua. And the context we learn in the first two verses of Joshua 1 is that Moses, the leader of Israel, had died. And God had selected Joshua to be the new leader. And I'm thinking that Joshua feels woefully inadequate for the task. And the whole first chapter is devoted to God encouraging Joshua to take that leadership role and continue to lead Israel in the ways that God would want them to go. How is it that Joshua could be strong and have good courage? Let me remind you of some things that God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. One reason why Joshua could have courage is because God says, I've got a land prepared for you. It's my gift to you. Joshua could have strength and courage because he was standing upon what God had said. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't that also answer why Joshua could be strong and of good courage? Just like I was with Moses. And Joshua had seen how God was with Moses through powerful miracles and just caring for him, for the people of Israel, through the wilderness wandering. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and of good courage, verse 6. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He goes on to say how the book of the law should not depart from his mouth, but he should meditate on it day and night. And then he would make his way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And what this article is suggesting is that this verse was highlighted or it was shared with other people. Probably to find that courage for someone who was going through a difficult time, or to share with someone who was going through such a time to encourage them. But it was the fourth most popular verse in 2013 in YouVersion. The third one is this, Matthew 6:13. Do not lead us into temptation. You'll recognize this as part of the Lord's model prayer. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I'm just going to examine the first part of that verse. Jesus says, pray like this. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Hugo McCord wrote a book, The Disciples' Prayer, and he begins the chapter on this passage with this question. Why pray, lead us not into temptation, if God never does such a thing? And that's probably a question that had been posed to him. It's a question that's been posed. How is it that God would lead us into temptation? Wouldn't that go against his nature? And that answer is based upon what James says. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust or desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James says, don't say God tempted you to do evil, because he's not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt others to do evil. True, God tempts no man, but he does prove and test and try men. Genesis 22 verse 1 often enters this discussion. Because in the King James Version of Genesis 22 verse 1, it says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And the context there is that God is about to tell Abraham to offer his one and only son as a sacrifice. And people point out, see, the scripture says God tempted Abraham. But the Hebrew word means to test, to prove, to try. Solicitation to evil is not found in this word. So many other translations have properly translated it using the word test. It came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and told him to go and offer his son. He was testing Abraham's faith and his obedience. God tests us. And yes, sometimes God tests us by allowing us to be tempted to do evil. Consider Matthew 4 and verse 1. This passage says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness for what purpose? To be tempted by the devil. God allowed Satan to seek to tempt Jesus, though Jesus resisted every temptation to sin. In summary, God cannot be tempted with evil. He does not solicit any man's evil doing. But when we need proving, he allows the devil to tempt us. But here Jesus says, this is such a serious matter that he taught his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Ask the Father, says Jesus, that you enter not into temptation. However, for your own good, God will sometimes lead you into a trial and will allow Satan to buffet you. But God also keeps a careful watch and is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted beyond which you're able. But with every temptation, we'll also provide a way of escape if we will seek to use it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. And so Jesus wants us to pray that he will do just that for us. A fourth passage, actually number 2, the second most popular verse in YouVersion in 2013, is Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's no surprise to me, is it you, that this is one of the most popular verses. Waiting can be so difficult. Waiting for our prayers to be answered. Waiting for our needs to be met. How do we persevere? How do we keep from being weary and faint-hearted? Listen to what God said through Isaiah to the people of Judah. They'd been waiting. They'd been told that because of their sin, God would allow a nation to carry them off into captivity. Babylon, that is, and serve as slaves for 70 years. But after that time period was up, they'd be brought back to their homeland, and they're homesick. And now the time has come for them to go back home. But there's 600 miles to go from Babylon all the way back to Jerusalem. How can we have the strength to make it home? Isaiah tells them God will provide. Notice the context of Isaiah 40, where the words weary and faint are used. Isaiah 40, 28 says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He points them to God. God doesn't grow weary. God doesn't faint. But then he points to humans and he says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. Youth is no guarantee that you're going to have the energy that you need to endure. Even young people faint and grow weary. So he brings these two opposites, the unwearied God and the fainting man, together. And he says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He's telling us that God will give us the power we need to persevere. He gives power to the weak, Isaiah 40, 29. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. And the good news for you and for me is that He will give us the strength that we need to face each new day and whatever that day may bring. And that brings us to the most popular verse in YouVersion in 2013. Philippians 4:13. It was the most highlighted, bookmarked, and shared verse. More than any other verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the context, Paul is saying he knows a secret. The New International Version says, I have learned the secret, Paul says, of being content in any and every situation. In the context, he says, whether I have plenty or whether I have nothing, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And that secret was that no matter what happened, he knew that the Lord would stand by him and would strengthen him and help him. The secret is this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hugo McCord translated the first part of that verse, I have strength for every situation. And the word for strengthens here is translated from a compound word, the heart of which is this Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. And another way to translate this part of the verse is to say, He who infuses power into me, I can do all things through Christ, who infuses that power into me. It's in the present tense, which indicates continuous action. I can continue to do all things through Him who constantly strengthens me. That's the idea. And no matter how you translate the verse, it throbs with power and confidence. Here's some versions. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Christ gives me the strength to face anything. I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. No wonder it's one of the most popular verses. Some of life's situations can be cured. Some of life's situations have to be endured. But the promise is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sure, it must be qualified. Paul isn't saying that he could jump 20-foot fences, run 100 miles per hour, hold his breath for 60 minutes. That's not what he's talking about. All things has specific application to those matters discussed in the context. He can endure times of plenty or times of famine because of the Christ and the power that Christ would give him. I don't think we do any injustice to Paul's words if we think of them in this light. I can do all things that the Lord requires of me, all things consistent with His will. One paraphrase states, I can do everything God asks me to. And certainly, He'll give us the strength to do what He wants us to do. But as we've looked at these top five verses of 2013, I want to conclude it by making this observation. Of course, I was asking, what does that tell us about the people who are highlighting and sharing these verses? And see if this might be something it tells us. The people are still longing for peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. The people want to have courage to face the challenges that they face in their lives. The people are wanting guidance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. They recognize they need help in living the life in battling temptation. These passages teach us that the people are still wanting hope. That they get weary in the struggles that they face, and they want to have hope as they wait on the Lord. That people recognize they need strength in life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's just some thoughts. But I do know this, these verses are powerful. And they remind us of the blessings that we have in Christ. Paul says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ," including those blessings that are spoken of in these verses. Are you in Christ tonight? Do you need to be baptized into Christ tonight as a penitent believer? Do you need to recommit your life to serving Him, to following Him faithfully? If that be the case, if you need to respond, please do so right now as we stand and sing.